some practical jokers, I tell you. I hadn't told a bald joke. Thank you, Billy Ray. I love you, brother. I hadn't told a bald joke in a long time, but I'm probably going to have to... Supposedly, the gentleman that orchestrated this, I believe, is bald or balding. So... Yeah, that may have been planned for a reason. That was probably the best view of me you've seen in a while.
So.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, Job chapter 1. You know, the praise team is going to be doing a wonderful job over the next several weeks of preparing us for worship with songs that that fit to our sermon series. You know, week before last, when we were with you before we were gone away, we did a message that really preferenced us for what we were going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks, talking about suffering. We learned in that message that, you know, Paul tells us that we will suffer. He says, after you have suffered a little while. We learned some good things about suffering, that even though we are going to suffer, even though it is inevitable, it is not forever. And it has great purpose in God. But we're going to look at how Job responded to suffering. Probably one of the most difficult books of the Bible to read. You know, when I heard a song, actually, that really brought this sermon series about, and I began to read the book of Job again, and I read it all the way through without stopping. And then I went back and broke it down and read it through in segments, and it was difficult. It's just hard to read a story about a man who suffers so much. And to know that it was suffering that God allowed to happen. But we can learn great things from Job's response because he had a great faith in God even in the midst of all of his suffering. Job chapter 1, please stand with me. We are going to read verses 1 through 19. If you don't think you can... if you can't stand that long, I understand that. We're going to read through these verses quickly. If you cannot stand, I know that's a lengthy set of verses this morning. I do understand. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. There was a man in the land of Uz who was named Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer a burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, and a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the works of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land? But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has in your hands, only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger from Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great crosswind came, and the wilderness struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, how difficult it is, even for me, to read this story. It starts off so beautifully with a depiction of a man who is so upright and who loves you and who cares for his family and who cares for his children, and as the Word of God says, who is blameless in your sight. And then we read about all of the suffering that befalls this great servant of yours. And Lord, we read how that this happens at the disclosure of your hand so that Satan can be shown that it's not just all of the good things in life for the reason in which Job serves you, but he serves you even through the midst of great suffering and through the midst of some of the greatest loss that any of us could begin to conceive or imagine. Lord Father, I pray that this sermon series that we get ready to embark upon over the next several weeks, Lord, will be anointed by your hands. And Lord, I pray that it teach us beautiful things about a story that's so harsh. Lord Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who's in the midst of suffering right now, then Lord, I pray that this message speaks loudly and boldly to their heart. Lord Father, I pray that if there's someone here who knows someone who's going through the midst of suffering, Lord, I pray that they can take this message and share it with those whom they know are suffering greatly. Lord Father, I pray that if there are those of us here that can say that things are beautiful and things are wonderful, Lord, I pray that we still take note and we prepare our hearts for the days and the moments and the times when we will suffer. Lord Father, I just pray that you speak boldly and loudly here today, Lord, and I pray that you would use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of all of my shortcomings, and they are many. Lord, I pray that you just for a moment in time would use me as your handiwork. Lord, Father, my greatest prayer today is if there is somebody here who has never known you in the free pardon of sin, then Lord, Father, I pray before it's everlasting too late they would come and be saved. Lord, Father, I pray for our church that you grow us, that you multiply us. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we've already seen. Lord, we pray for those that are here today. Lord, I pray for those who are not here today. So many among us are sick, Lord, and I just uplift them in prayer. So, Father, Lord, I just pray that you bless our service and bless this time of preaching. It's all this we ask in your holy, precious name. Amen. I encourage you, take notes. Write this down on paper. Put it in your phone, in your iPad. Take notes. Why? Because as we learned from this message a few weeks ago, if you're not suffering now, one day you will suffer. One day you're going to face a trial, a hardship, whether it be cancer, whether it be an unexpected death, the loss of a child, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, maybe the loss of your family, maybe the loss of your job, the loss of your income. Probably never going to be as bad as Job's story is or was, but I can promise you that you're going to endure hardships in your life, and the things that God has laid on my heart are going to be things that will help you in the days and months and weeks or even years to come when you go through ordeals like we talk about here today. The first thing that I want you to know about suffering and Job's story of suffering is this. It's Job chose his faith through all of his suffering. Here in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's really the essence of a story of a man and his faith. You know, this story, it really does start off so beautifully. A man who loved God and believed in God. A man who was blameless. A man who cared for his home and his family. Even when his children would sin and turn away from God, Job would go after they got done sinning and he would consecrate an offering on their behalf. And he even said in the Scripture, you know, I know that my children sin against you. But he was a man who was very conscious and aware of God and His mercy and His greatness and His goodness. And he had been blessed because of his obedience. But even in the midst of losing everything, Job chose his faith. And I want to share with you several things this morning that faith will do for us and won't do for us in the midst of suffering. We're going to talk first about the things that holding true to our faith will not do in our suffering. I want you to know that choosing your faith in the midst of your suffering will not eliminate your pain. Listen to me. Choosing God in the midst of your suffering is not always going to make the essence of your suffering any easier. We're going to see in the life and in the story of Job, he overwhelmingly chose his faith in God above what his wife told him to do. We're going to see here in a minute how that Job's wife told him to curse God and die. We're going to see through this message series how that the friends of Job questioned who that he was, the man that he was in his integrity, but he still chose his faith in God. But it didn't make the pain any less easier. You see, suffering brings about pain. And as we learned a few weeks ago, we're all going to suffer. And even if suffering is but for a short time, even in that short season, even in that short moment, there's going to be pain. Pain's difficult. Anybody want to be in pain? I don't. It's the human nature that we want to live as painless of a life as possible. But I love you as your pastor, and I tell you these things so that you will know and understand that when the day of suffering comes for you, that you need to turn to God and trust and have faith in Him. But I don't want you to be disillusioned when you realize that the pain doesn't go away. When cancer comes, when loss comes, when death comes, when tragedy comes, you're going to feel the pain. You're going to feel the sting. You're going to feel that burn, even if it is but for a season or a time. It's still a very real thing. But we see how that Job chose the beauty of his faith. In Job 1, verses 20, 21, and 22, it said it this way. After Job had received all of this news, it says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. And then he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" And in verse 22, I love this, as he says, "In all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong." You know, it's so easy to want to say, "God, why? Why do I have to suffer?" And it's so easy to even want to blame God in the midst of our suffering. But here we see a man who chooses his faith. It doesn't mean that Job wasn't suffering. He's lost all of his children. All of his 7 boys, all of his 3 girls are gone. All of his physical possessions in the way of property and livestock is gone. He is basically a penniless man who now has no family outside of his wife, and his wife is soon going to forsake him because he holds true to his faith. And in the midst of that, Job was able to say, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But don't believe for a second that Job didn't feel the pain. It's all about how Job chose to handle the situation in the midst of his suffering. Job chapter 2 verse 10. We also see Job saying these words. But he says to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. When Job's wife says, "Curse God and die," Job says, "Absolutely not. The Lord gives good as much as He gives evil." It's hard for us to understand, why can I be a good person and suffer? Why can God allow good people to suffer? Job explains it best that God gives good and life happens. Life happens. We are going to suffer and face difficulty and hardships and trials, but we choose our faith. But in the midst of choosing our faith, it doesn't eliminate the pain. The second thing that we need to know about choosing our faith in the midst of our suffering is this, is it's not going to stop the questions. I don't care who you are. I don't care how devoted, how undevoted, I don't care what your status is in your relationship with God. In the midst of suffering, there are going to be moments and seasons where you still question. You may not question who God is, and I want you to see that. Job didn't question who that God was. He didn't question the power of God. He didn't question the sovereignty of God. He didn't question any of that. He didn't blame. He didn't sin, you know, sin by putting blame on God. But it didn't mean that Job didn't question the situation. Why did all of my children die? Why have I lost everything that I have? That's nature. That's the reality of who we are as people. And even in choosing our faith, there are going to be moments and there are going to be seasons where we question the scenario. Where we're going to wonder in our mind, why to this extreme and why to this level? I think about the psalmist David in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1, where he would even question himself and ask this question. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Here David is crying out unto God and just questioning of God, "Lord, why do I have to endure what I'm enduring?" Here at this moment in the life of David, he is running and hiding from his enemy, King Saul, and there were moments and seasons where David in his life asked these questions. "God, have you forgotten me forever?" David in his heart knew that God loved him. David in his heart knew that God would never leave him, but it didn't stop him from asking these questions. I think about the life of Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, in His Gospel. He shared it this way in Luke chapter 22, verses 42 and 3. Jesus asking these questions saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And then appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed this prayer and He asked this question not once, not twice, but three times. Three times Jesus asked this question in the pre-hours of His suffering. Suffering that we could not even imagine that He would go through physically or emotionally. Christ in that hour asked of His Father, "Is there any other way?" Even Christ, in the midst of suffering, had questions and asked them. Choosing our faith doesn't stop our questions. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of my suffering, I'll ask questions. But the difference in asking questions and placing blame on God is two totally different things. Job undoubtedly had questions, but he never placed blame at the foot of God. Choosing our faith in the midst of our suffering, it won't eliminate our pain. It doesn't stop questions. But I think it's important that we also know that it does not create a logical answer. I want to tell you that the reality is this. You may suffer things in your life and never have a logical answer for why you have suffered. Job, in this hour, probably had questions. He undoubtedly felt the pain. But even in choosing his faith, we may never receive a logical answer for why we endure the things we do. You know, I've talked to people who lose their children tragically, lose loved ones tragically. And you know what? They tell me I've gone through my life and never understood why I lost my child. I've gone through my life and I never understood why I went through that, why I endured that, why that season in my life was so painful. There are things in this life that we do not and will not fully understand. Why do people suffer through cancer tremendously, terribly? There are things that we go through in this life that we do not have the answers for. And you know what? That's probably uncomfortable for you. It's probably uncomfortable for you to sit there and hear me tell you that there are going to be things in your life that you endure and that you go through and you have no reasonable assurance as to why. And I'm telling you, choose your faith. But in choosing your faith, there may not be a logical answer. There may not be that moment in your life where you can say, I know exactly why I lost my loved one. Now I know exactly why I suffered through cancer. There may not be that season. For a lot of us, we go through and endure things and we get good answers. We get an assurance because of the way things happen in our life. We can see and understand why it happened in the season that it did. But there's moments and things that happen in our life where we don't always have the most logical answer. And I want you to know that sometimes the greatest answer isn't always an answer that we're willing to accept, or it's not an answer that the world says makes any sense. You know, Job responded to his wife and he says, "You make a foolish response to me by telling me that I should curse God and die." There were things that his wife didn't understand about his faith, saw no logic in his faith. And in your choosing faith in your suffering, there are going to be people that will tell you that you're foolish, that you're silly, that you believe in something that is nothing but a fairy tale. Faith to so many people seems illogical. Job chapter 2 verse 9, literally Job's wife says to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity?" If you look up the translation of the word, meaning your belief, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity, your belief, your moral code? Curse God and die." And then he told her in that very next verse, he says, "You're foolish." I think about Paul and his writings in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said this about Christ and the cross. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly or foolish to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You see, to those of us that know Christ and Him crucified, it is the power of God that He came and loved us so much that He died for us, that in our belief in Him we might go free. But to the world out there that is still yet perishing and has never known Him, it's foolishness. It's silliness to believe in such things that God would send a Savior to die, that if we believed in Him, we'd be forgiven of all of our sins. In the midst of suffering, there's not always going to be logical answers. And the answers that are most logical don't always make sense. They don't always bring us comfort. And it may be things that people in the world don't agree with or just thinks is foolish. And that's pretty harsh. You've just sat here and you've given me three things that if I choose my faith in suffering, that my faith will not do for me. You're telling me that I will suffer and have pain. You are telling me that I will have questions, and you are telling me that I will endure things for which I may never receive an answer that makes any sense to me. That's difficult. And I'm not telling you that I have all the answers, and I've studied and I have prayed hard to give you the best messages that I feel that can prepare you for how to deal with situations like suffering. But what can our faith do for us if we choose to follow it in the midst of our suffering? You see, Job teaches us that if we choose our faith in the midst of suffering, we'll always be reminded that God is in control. Hear me and remember this. If you choose your faith in the midst of suffering, you'll always be reminded that God is in control. That we serve a God who is still on the throne. That we serve a God who always has everything in His hands. That we serve a God who is in utter control. You see, we say silly things sometimes like, "You know what? I'm going to turn this over to God. Let Him be in control." Anybody ever said that? "I think I'll turn this over and let Him give it a try." The reality about suffering is this, is really honestly suffering, if we choose our faith, teaches us and reminds us that God is in utter and total control. God never gave you control. God never allows you or me or any of us to be in true control. God is a sovereign God who never gives up. His power on the throne. I didn't get enough amens on that. Listen, folks. That's something to praise God about. You see, we're done talking about what your faith will not do for you in the midst of suffering. Be encouraged as now we talk about the things that our faith will do for us in the midst of suffering. And our faith will always remind us that God is in control. And I don't know about you, but I'm always glad to know that God is in control. Because I make a mess of things. Amen? I make a mess of things. My wife will tell you that I make a mess of things. In the house, I make a mess of things. In the bedroom, I make a mess of things. You know, in the dining room, I make a mess of things. It doesn't matter. Anywheres, everywheres, I make a mess of things. And I have a bad habit of not cleaning it up. Probably the most frequent mess that I make that my wife loves to clean up is, a lot of you all may not know, but I cut my own hair. That's pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good haircut, isn't it? You never see me with a bad hair day. I cut my own hair. And it bothers my wife to the nth degree because I clean up my mess. I try hard. And then all the little hairs that are left in the bathroom sink drives her nuts. That's the way that I do things when I'm in control. I always find a way to make a mess of things. When we are in control, we always are going to find a way to make a mess of things. But when we allow God truly to be in control, we find that things are far better. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17, we see this beautiful thing here as John the Revelator saw this. He says, "When I saw him talking about the Lamb, he says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not. I am the first and the last." Christ said these beautiful words to reassure John. I am the first and I am the last. As the King James says it, he says, I am the beginning and I am the end. That is the God that you and I serve. I'm in total control, he says. I am the beginning and I am the end. When we choose our faith over our suffering, not only will it remind us that he is in control, but when we choose our faith over our suffering, I can promise you that we'll be a rare praise unto God. You see, so many people choose in the midst of their suffering to move farther away from God. Rather than be closer to God, rather than being in a greater relationship with God, rather than trusting in God, rather than having faith in God, they turn away from Him. But you see, Job was a rare praise because it says immediately within hearing all of the news of the destruction of his family and everything that he owned, it says that he worshiped God. How many of us in the midst of suffering have immediately began to worship God? Some of you may. Some of you may have that faith. But for many of us, the reality is to immediately become grief-stricken. The reality is that we become overwhelmed rather than trust in God. Be a rare praise. Job chapter 19, verse 25, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." Now these are the words of a man who will lose everything, who will be stricken with boils across his body, who will suffer not just physical losses, but he will suffer physical pains. He will suffer emotional loss. And here's what Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." You see, Job had assurance in who that God was, that he was his Redeemer. And he says, "I serve a God who lives, and I serve a God who is in control." I think of the writings of Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 as he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I say again, rejoice. And Paul writes these letters from prison. And he tells from prison the church of Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice always." in the midst of your suffering, if you can choose to rejoice, if you can choose to resound, my Redeemer lives, and worship God, you can be a rare praise when so many in the world turn away from God in the midst of suffering. Our faith can help us be a praise unto God. Not only will our faith remind us of God's sovereign control, not only does our faith allow us to be a true praise unto God, but as we get ready to close, Job teaches us that choosing our faith in the midst of our suffering has the ability to bring us closer to God. Listen to me. Your suffering has the ability to bring you closer to God. You can choose to question God. You can choose to blame God. You can choose to reject God. All of those are your decisions. In the midst of your suffering, you can choose to do those things. But if you choose your faith in the midst of your suffering, it can bring you closer to God than you have ever been before. God, think about men like Job. Ultimately, in the end, Job lost everything. His health, all of those things. But in the end, he worshiped God and he chose God. And he chose his faith and he was greatly blessed. You know, I think about David, who ran from Saul and who struggled and then became king and then fell in his sin. And then God still lifted him up because he chose God in the midst of his suffering. Time after time after time throughout the Word of God, we can read these great stories of people who have suffered so immensely but chose their faith. And because of their faith, they became closer to God. We put suffering in this category of the idea that it brings nothing but bad things. I tell you this, that suffering can bring about great things, the greatest of which can be a greater relationship with God. As our praise and our worship team comes, as we're going to close and close quickly, the message was a little long and I'm sorry for that. But as we get ready to close, I want you to know this about the idea of suffering. That the person who suffered the greatest in this world, far worse than Job could ever have imagined, was Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus loved us so much that He came and suffered, as the Word of God says, He suffered a sinner's death. And here in a few weeks when we lead up to Easter, we'll talk about how that Christ literally gave of His body, His broken body, how that He had to hang upon and die upon a cross, and how that there on the cross He would say, my God, why have You forsaken Me? You see, Christ was literally forsaken on the cross that you and I, through His forsakenness, might be saved. You can never say that nothing good has ever come from suffering. Because through the sufferings of Christ, we have an opportunity to know God. I encourage you this morning to come. If you're here and you've never known Christ, this is an opportunity for you to come and give your heart and your life to Him. I would love to share with you this morning how that you might be saved. It's as simple as admitting and believing in your heart and confessing Christ Jesus. You come and I'll share with you. If you're here this morning and you're in the midst of suffering, you come, choose your faith. I'm not going to tell you that there won't be pain. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to ask questions. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to receive the most logical answer that will always make sense to you. But I am telling you this. In the process, you'll be able to better rely that God is in control. You can praise God in the midst of your suffering. And you can ultimately have a better relationship with Him. You come this morning. Father, Lord, as we close out a time of preaching, Lord, as we come now to a time of response, Lord, I pray that the hearts of Your people will be moved to respond. Lord God, we thank You. We thank You that You loved us enough that You came and suffered a sinner's death that we might go free. Lord, from this story of suffering, I pray that we learn something, Lord, that applies to our heart and applies to our life. Lord, Father, we ask all this in Your holy precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.